Welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast, and if you were grooving to that waltz version of A Hard Day's Night, you're in for a treat today as we discuss the newly reissued Hard Day's Night film.
Yeah, our popcorn is popped here, our hands are all buttery from chocolate. We got our large sodas. And we're going to talk about Hard Day's Night, the Criterion Collection, which just came out on a Blu-ray and DVD combo pack, which, you know, is very nice. And has a wonderfully thick booklet with an interview with Richard Lester in it, as well as many of these other features we'll talk about here in just a moment.
Yeah, you remember last year or year before, we did a review of the newly reissued Help. Which was given and also very nice treatment. And so this is continuing that. It's different. It's in the Criterion Collection, which is known for a lot of foreign films and really classy kinds of reissues. And so it's nice to have Hard Day's Night getting this particular treatment here.
Yeah, in fact, on the set here it says, explaining if you've never gotten a Criterion Collection, it says, Criterion Collection, a continuing series of important classic and contemporary films, presents A Hard Day's Night.
And it runs about, at least I saw it for about $25 or so on Amazon. I don't know if what it is everywhere else, but that's just where I looked. So pretty reasonable price to get both the DVD and Blu-ray versions, as well as the nice packaging and the informative book.
Yeah. And of course, you've got a lot of special features. Now, first we'll talk about the, they did a new digital restoration for it, approved by Richard Lester with three audio soundtracks. I don't know who would sit and watch it three times
with three
different audio soundtracks, but monorail soundtrack as well as newly created stereo and 5.1 surround sound soundtracks. We watched it in surround sound.
Right.
So it's pretty pretty good.
Yeah, it sounded great. And so the picture is just, that's been completely restored, as well as the audio.
Yeah. The audio, the newly created audio was done by
Giles Martin.
That's right.
Son of George.
And he just did a terrific job of it, I thought. What did you think of the video quality compared to, we also popped in the, not even on an old one, but the most recent Hard Day's Night release on DVD and compared it.
Yeah, it's not even a comparison. This, I had the Miramax, I think, was the release version of A Hard Day's Night, which was up to now the one you would get, and just completely different. Really, now it looks very grainy and fuzzy compared to the new reissue. So just the picture quality alone is stunning, and the audio sounds great too. There's some interviews or information by Giles Martin in there. Yeah, where he talks about the remixes and how it works, and how something that's always annoyed me is that the speed of the songs is slower than they are on the actual record, and he says we can't really fix that because of the film speed. So, but he said he tried to do as much as he could. So,
yeah.
It definitely sounds great, and we watched it, as Chris said, in the surround sound, and it was really just a stunning change from previous versions.
Particularly when the songs kick in, it's like, whoa, this is amazing. This really sounds great.
It definitely is. So we assume you've watched the movie before if you're listening to us, but if you have not bought it yet, this is definitely the one to get, and it will impress you. If you've even seen it 100 times, it will still impress you.
Now, if you have a previous version and you're like, well, some of those features are on here, that's true.
Yeah.
But this has compiled a bunch of different special features on two or three previous versions into one place. So what you get is the audio commentary featuring cast and crew in their own voices, a new piece combining 1964 interviews with the Beatles with behind-the-scenes footage and photos that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have a few things to say about that while we talk about it here. Also, You Can't Do That, The Making of A Hard Day's Night, a 1994 documentary. Things We Said Today, a 2002 documentary that interviews Lester and George Martin, as well as some of Richard Lester's small films and a new interview with author Mark Lewison, one of our favorite guys. So, yeah, and the packaging is good. I know some people don't love the cover.
Yeah.
Which is pictures of them jumping from the Can't Buy Me Love sequence. But
right. I think it's more the lines that
they're
pretty, I don't know. Huh. I'm not a big fan of the cover, but you don't watch the movie for the cover. Yeah. So just we'll talk a little bit about some of the scenes in the movie. We're not going to rehash the plot because there really isn't much of a plot. Day in the life of the Beatles.
They can't control Paul's grandfather.
Yes, that's basically the story.
Paul's grandfather causes a lot of trouble.
He's very clean, though.
He's very clean. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And Ringo is sort of down in the dumps this particular day.
That's about right. That's it. Now, the movie, I think it's important to remember this. Where the timing of this was really good when this came out. Because it was meant to capitalize on their success and having come to America and right after that, and so this whole movie is really just a vehicle for these songs to get out. And you hear certain ones multiple times.
Yeah.
For example, "Can't Buy Me Love," we hear a lot. We hear "Hard Day's Night" multiple times in interesting ways, as you heard at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And there's placed in a very strategic way, I think, to keep you coming back, as well as "She Loves You," which has nothing to do with "Hard Day's Night," but it's their single. It was famous, so hey, let's film them performing it at the end.
Well, of course, the film begins with a very famous sequence where they're running away from all of their adoring fans, trying to get to the train and ducking and hiding in places, and it's only three of them for a while, and then all of a sudden you see a newspaper, and down pulls the thing, and it's Paul with the clever disguise sitting next to his
so-called grandfather,
which was just an actor. Mm-hmm. So let's hear just a little bit about "Hard Day's Night." It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Title song of "Hard Day's Night," of course, which starts that opening sequence, which is so famous. And if you take a Beatles walking tour of London, you can go see where that was. That was, I believe, I took a tour out of a book by Richard Porter, and it was a self-guided tour of walking tour of London. That was the first sight or the last sight, I can't remember, but it was sort of like a revelation, like, oh, there it is. That's where it is.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's a big spot there in London.
Now we talked about Paul's fictional grandfather, John McCartney, who's featured throughout the show, but they talked to him a lot on the train sequence, which is the next sequence, kind of. And it's an Irish actor, Wilfred Bramble.
Yes.
And he was in a famous British sitcom called Steptoe and Son. I'm sure Dave has watched all Steptoe.
I've watched every single episode.
Well, in that Steptoe and Son, they keep calling him a dirty old man. It's one of the running gag jokes. And so in this, as a little tip of the hat to fans of Steptoe and Son, I guess, they keep calling him, oh, he's very clean. Oh, he's a clean old man. So kind of, if you've ever been puzzled by that, it's just a straight direct reference joke to that Steptoe and Son thing.
Well, this film of the Beatles Five, I think, is extremely British. There's a lot of the words, the dialogue, the jokes. So there's a lot of those. It really is surrounded by that, and so which is particularly fascinating because Richard Lester's American, and so, but he was famous for making these short films, which you mentioned are on the special features there, and really made it big over there. So it's kind of this interesting cross-cultural reference going on.
Yeah. If you watch this film, and if you watch the short films of Richard Lester, too, you get the sense that he is really, like, his heroes would be, like, Chaplin and Buster Keaton and kind of thing. He likes the physical comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think the sequences that stand out the biggest in here is ones with a lot of physical comedy. Yeah. And, of course, the other sequences that stand out are the musical sequences.
Yes.
One of the musical sequences they talked about in the special feature I mentioned before, In Their Own Voices, and Ringo was talking about how much fun they had, particularly filming this one sequence where John sort of... The plot to get into the studio is like, let's just go up on the studio and goof around. And so they go up on the studio stage for the performance is going to be on. And they Ringo's sulking again. And John starts singing this song to Ringo.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand, 'cause I've been in love before, and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her.
Yeah, the great, great song, If I Fell. And what's even funnier in that whole scene is the little back and forth between Ringo and the TV engine, or the kind of sidekick guy or whatever, I don't know what he is, some sort of assistant producer or something, who goes over, Ringo drops his drumstick, and the guy goes over and picks it up and starts tapping his cymbal, and Ringo gets all out of sorts, and you know, they have this back and forth dialogue about it, and that's when John comes over and kind of says, he's sulking again.
Yeah, he soothes Ringo's frustrations, but only temporarily.
Yes,
they're to be roused up again by the troublemaking grandfather of
all,
who gets him all so upset that, of course, in probably everyone's favorite, the most famous sequence, probably in the film. Where Ringo goes on a little bit of a downtrodden walk, somehow gets a camera out of nowhere,
and
on a little walk, dressed all dumpily, meets a kid with a tire.
Mm-hmm. Tries to take pictures, and his camera falls into the canal.
Yeah. And of course, that's this little song, which is This Boy, but the instrumental version. Let's hear just a little bit of that.
Great scene. Ringo acts pretty well here, I'd say. Now, I know you're on record saying that you think Paul's the worst actor, and so I wonder, do you still hold that opinion even for this movie?
Yeah, he was weak in this, but far superior to any other work he's ever done, acting-wise. And then George was pretty good in that. The rest of them were pretty solid mm-hmm. in this. In fact, I was going to ask you... What sequence, other than the ones we mentioned, the rest of the thing, they go and they play a concert.
Yeah, we know the plot, yeah.
What other sequence do you would like really stands out to you? Like what?
Well, there are two favorite scenes for me. The one is when George goes in to talk to the kind of stumbles into the fashion designer's office.
Yeah.
Is completely out of it. It doesn't, you know, it's just a real mismatch going on here, and they don't really know what's going on. But he's asked to look at some fashions for teenagers and some t-shirts, some shirts and things, and uses the word grotty. and this fashion designer keeps thinking that George
meaning
is
meaning grotesque.
Right, right. And this fashion designer who's very, trying to be very hip and uses all the lingo and everything, he eventually gets really angry at George because George is insulting his star model and insulting his clothes and all of this. And George is very funny in that scene. I think his looks and his facial expressions are great.
Not only that, but I think that's why this movie is really good and why Roger Ebert gave it a 4-star review and that it's thought of as one of the classic films of all time, really. Mm. It's at least on the list for many people.
Yeah, it's always on there.
Is that scene really encapsulates, like, here's the young, really hip person who just stumbles into the fashion people who think that they know what's hip or think that they're trying to capture
the authority figures here. Yeah.
So I feel like this whole film is like shunning the authority figures.
Yeah.
The producer of the show, the broadcast of the concert that's about to go up, is very uptight, but he's trying to wear this cool fashion of the day, this sort of
sweater vest thing,
but it's like all puffy and looks like of the fashion of the day.
Yeah,
it just comes off like really false. So I think that scene is like, I like that scene too a lot.
That's a good point, because they are kind of mocking authority a lot in this film, because they're two handlers, Norm and Shake. Yeah. Are trying to keep them on task, and they're always, you know, thwarting those guys,
running
away, hiding. You know, things are always happening, and they're spoofing and making fun of the TV producer. Just, I think there's this battle, which made sense when it was made in 1964. That was the beginning of all the '60s revolution happening, and the youth versus the older figures. And
there's even that scene in the train where the guy shuts the window and says, turn off your radio.
That's another, right in the early part of the movie when they're on the train and they get in and this old man, grumpy business guy or something, comes in and, he wants to close the window, and then he turns off Ringo's radio and he says, "Well, I fought the war for you, or for your kind," or something. And then Ringo says, "I bet you're sad you won," or something like that. So that's a big theme about this movie that really also, I think, makes it powerful and timeless, because that's always been with us here, this generation battle between the two. So that, actually, both my favorite scenes are with George. I like that. And then I just like the "I'm Happy Just to Dance with You," where they come in to play and they're hearing the song in kind of a 20s popular song version of it.
Yeah.
And then they join
with dancing.
Dancing. And then they join in at the end. And then George actually really sings "I'm Happy Just to Dance with You." And it's great. Nice to see George get some airtime. And
of course, George has the funniest line in the movie, arguably, which is like, "What do you call that haircut?" Which the interviewer is sort of puzzled at his haircut. Like, "What do you call that haircut?" And he responds,
"Arthur,"
which everybody loves.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking the sequence that really stood out to me is this little thing where they're sort of crossing paths with some people in the hallway of the big studio, and this woman stops. And sees John.
Oh yeah!
And immediately he's like, "I'm not him," and she's
"Oh yes,
like,
you are."
She's like, "Oh yes, you are," and he's like, "No." What have they been saying?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, it's been around, but I told them that you would never." And she was like, "I knew I could count on you." Just a hilariously written song. And then at the end, she looks at him real close and goes like, you look nothing like him. So very funny.
Yeah, that's a good
very
scene.
Funny sequence. Now, how do you rate this? We've been talking running orders. How do you rate this running order of this concert? Which is... So the concert, let's see.
Right at the end of the movie, the whole everything's building up to this final concert here, and so they start out with...
They open with Tell Me Why. Pretty good, pretty solid opening. And then If I Fell, brought it down a notch. Then I Should Have Known Better. And then they close with She Loves You.
Yeah.
And the old man joins him on stage for a minute.
Yeah, he comes up through the floor like he did in the, earlier in the movie during a little opera play or something going on.
Yeah.
Again, it's this vehicle for the songs. So you're going to have to see them perform at the end. And Tell Me Why and If I Fell and I Should Have Known Better are all on the album. Yeah. So great way to get those songs in the people's heads. And it's trying to simulate what their concerts were like, because you have all the screaming girls and screaming fans there. And
Speaking of the screaming girls, you should definitely go to the new website of RogerEbert.com, because it's very well designed, and type in A Hard Day's Night and read Roger Ebert's review.
Yeah.
And one of his favorite little moments in the film is this.
Right at the end of the movie, really, during She Loves You, when they have the pause at the end of the song, this girl just mouths, "George." And the camera just sticks on her. He says that just, you know, summarizes the Beatles at that point and their magic and power over everybody.
So, you know, we like to give ratings, but as a little tribute to the late Roger Ebert, I think we would both give this 2 thumbs up.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you see something new each time, and I've seen this many, many times. I'm sure many of our listeners have, too. This, I found with teaching a class on the Beatles, which I taught for six, seven times. University class. This movie goes over very well with students of our younger generation here. Yeah. Much better than the others do. It's worn well, I think, and that keeps it in that more timeless situation. Whereas they found Help a little bit dated. Not many people like Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah.
So, if you like cartoons, you probably like Yellow Submarine, and then Let It Be is just a very different kind of documentary. So. But they always love Hard Day's Night because it's just so natural, I think. It just feels so natural and rates well. So, it is a timeless classic, and you can't go wrong. And as I said, you'll in this new print, you'll see some new things that you haven't seen before. I made some observations, though. Ooh, I didn't notice that before, probably because it was grainy or hard to see, or the focus was very different, but... It's well worth seeing again.
Yeah, I'd say I definitely recommend. I mean, I recommend Criterion Collection. If it's a movie you like and they come out on Criterion Collection, snatch them up.
Yeah,
because they really do them well. I believe many of the Criterion Collection is also available on Hulu Plus, which I don't have a subscription to. But if you do, then definitely check it out on Hulu Plus or any of the Criterion Collection films.
Yeah.
And this is a great film. Great. I'm going to enjoy watching some of the other extra features when I get home. And, I think we enjoyed watching it just now.
Definitely.
Of course, one of the other more famous sequences is where they just break loose and
out the fire escape
and jump around, and we're gonna break loose out of this podcast right now and go jump around ourselves. So
clowns can buy me love. Money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give. You can say you love me too. I may not have a lot to give, but what I got, I'll give to you. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. Can buy me love. Everybody.
and I'll be satisfied.